إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautioned us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, and those of you who want all the details, this is the further reminder, so I'm not going into all the details. Those of you who want all the details, please read my book, Akhlaq of the Ummati. And I'm requesting Umar to send out the link to that book from in this further reminder as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautioned us against believing a fasiq, against believing a rebellious person when he or she comes and complains or alleges malpractice or accuses another person, accuses a Muslim, accuses our brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, do not believe him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not believe him unless and until you have verified their claim. So please understand this. Allah is not telling us, don't believe a non-Muslim when he complains about a Muslim. Allah did not say that. Allah said, do not believe until you have verified the complaint. Until then, keep yourself neutral. Do not say yes or no. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if a person comes to you and complains about another person and says that he assaulted me and he blinded me in one eye. And listen carefully. He said, if a person comes to you and complains about another person and says he assaulted me and he blinded me in one eye, and you actually see that this person is actually really truthfully blinded in one eye, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even then do not believe him and do not believe evil about the other person until you go and verify that entire incident yourself. Because it might well be that this person assaulted the other person first, as a consequence of which he blinded that person in both eyes, and as a result of that fight, this guy got blinded in one eye. So he is really the aggressor. He is not the one who was oppressed, he is the aggressor, but he is pretending to be the one oppressed, and having first blinded the other one in both eyes, he now wants your sympathy because he got blinded in one eye. All of this was because of his own evil behavior. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because this is one of the things that we seem to do very easily and most often, and which puts us, of course, directly in the path of ghiba and ghiba, namima, and buhtan, backbiting, slandering, and false implications, insinuations about others, but especially about our Muslim brothers. And as a result of which, we lose all the good deeds that we have, because when we do this, the good deeds are transferred to the person who we were maligning and slandering. Now, we do this all the time. We have this tendency to believe evil much faster than we believe good. We have the tendency to believe wrong much faster than we believe right. We have the tendency, if somebody says something good, especially about those who we love to hate, then we immediately call them, we say that, you know, he's being paid to say that, or which is, we now believe evil also about that person. We say he's been paid to say that, and he's a puppet, and he's this and that. Refusing to accept the fact that there is good in people. There is good even in people who might, where you might not see it. So we have this tendency to believe the worst. Now the reason I'm saying that is because another one of the peeves that I've been hearing after this Hajj is all the maligning and bad talking and slandering of the Saudi authorities, the Saudi government and so on, with regard to the conduct and the administration of Hajj. Now please understand, I'm not, by my statement here, I'm not confirming or I'm not endorsing all Saudi policies in all areas. I'm talking specifically and only about the conduct of Hajj. Now, in this contract of Hajj, what is the actual truth? I'm not saying that there is no… that there's no improvement that can be done in the way the Hajj is handled. Of course it can be done. In 2010, I was invited to speak at the International Hajj Conference, and the topic of my paper was this, the administration of Hajj. So, definitely things can be improved. For example, one is to have many more multilingual officials, whether it is immigration at the airport, whether it is police who are monitoring the Hajj and who are with the Hajjaj, whether it is people in the Haram who are manning the doors of the Haram, whether it is whoever who comes into contact, officials, Saudi officials who come into contact with the Hajjaj in their administration, in their going from place to place, in their direction, be given, so on and so forth. There is a huge, huge, huge need for multilingual people, for people to speak other languages other than Arabic, because the majority of people who come for Hajj, a huge number of them, are people who do not speak Arabic. They come from South Asian countries, they come from European countries, they come from all other places in the world, and people do not speak Arabic. So, having someone yelling at them in Arabic is not the best way of handling those situations. And that's unfortunately what we see happening. So, we need… the Saudi authorities need to get more multilingual people. Second thing is that we need to just get more people, more police and more crowd control people, because of the need for such people. So, there are… and there may be more. I mean, I'm not… this purpose of this further reminder is not to list the number of improvements that can be done. There can be many more. But these are two which are glaring. The way the passports are handled, for example, I mean, the people are… I've seen Bangladeshi, elderly Bangladeshi people completely puzzled and you know, harassed and stressed out, because some guy in a thobe just grabbed their passport and walked away with it, and they don't know, was this theft? I mean, was their passport stolen, or what happened to that? And what was actually happening was perfectly legal, which is that the representative of the muallim of the Hajj has taken their passports to get them photocopied, and then they keep them secure so that they don't get lost. They're actually doing them a service, but the way they do that, it looks as if they are doing them an injury. And the reason for that is because they speak Bengali, and these people speak Arabic, and they don't understand one another. All it needs is for good signage. All it needs is for people to speak the multiple languages and explain to them what is happening. And that's all that is required. But for some reason, Allah knows best, this is not done. So, there are areas of improvement. But let us look at specifically the stampede that happened in Mina. I mean, let's look at both the things. The crane crash. Could that have been prevented? Short answer, three letters, yes. There was no reason why that thing had to happen, right? I mean, we can talk about act of God and whatnot, but before we go and blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, we have to look and see, did we take the precautions that we should have taken? And the first precaution that you take with a crane is, when you are not using that crane, you lower the boom. Put it on the ground so that it cannot possibly topple over. If a crane with a lowered boom and with all the ballast in the base which will prevent it, or which is supposed to prevent it from tipping over, if that crane still tips over because there is a landslide due to rain or whatever, then there is no blame on the people, on the authorities for what happened. But when the crane was standing there with the boom up and with the ballast off, then and if it tips over, then don't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. That is the responsibility of the people who were supposed to look after that crane. They did not take proper safety measures. If you are not wearing a seatbelt and you crash your car and you die, then believe me, you have to take ownership for some of that, because you can't say this is an act of God. Of course, your death was destined in terms of its time, but you were supposed to take some precautions with regard to yourself. You were supposed to follow basic safety rules. And this applies across the world. That is the reason why we have safety rules. And Islam does not prevent you from taking those safety precautions. It is stupidity and foolhardiness not to take safety precautions and say, I trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to trust Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told you that in this alamul asbab, that you must take precautions which are normal and sensible before you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tie the camel with the rope, and then trust and have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, tawakkul does not mean that you, jump off a cliff and say, well, if I am to die, then I will die, and if Allah wants to save me, then Allah will save me. Allah probably does not want to save you because He wants to rid the earth of stupid people. So, if you walk off the cliff, then salaam alaikum. So, the point is that very important for us to accept that there are some things which could have been prevented, inshallah, if precautions were taken. But now take the stampede in Mina. My experience of having been on Hajj, alhamdulillah, several times is that probably the, I'm not talking about the numbers because I don't know how many dollars were spent, but one of the most critical areas which was hugely improved, completely out of recognition, is the Jamarat. And the reason why that was done is because of the frequent stampedes. Now tell me, when we stampede, who is driving us? Saudi military? Zionist agents? American FBI or CIA agents? Who do you want to blame? Act of God? Was there a tsunami behind you? Was there a tornado that took you and dumped you on top of somebody else? Or is it our own extremely brutal, unthinking, uncaring, unconcerned behavior when we are on Hajj, when we are supposed to be on our best behavior, when we are supposed to show the maximum consideration for other people? Do we do that? I'm not saying again, nobody does it, but I know and you know that there are so many people who do not do that. How many of us have been witness during Hajj and other than Hajj, especially in Ramadan, for example? How many of us have been witness to people linking their arms together? I can name the nationalities. I'm not going to do that for want of, to prevent any fitna, but I can name, there are specific nationalities, Muslims from certain countries, who are notorious for doing these things. Absolutely notorious. So they link their arms together and then they drive like a phalanx of the Roman army for the Hajj al-Aswad, to go and kiss the black stone, and they trample anyone in their way. How many of us have been witness to that? How many of us have been witness to the fact that when we finish the tawaf, maybe you went a little bit further, what you must do, what anyone with any sense will do, is take advantage of this and say, I am getting one more round of the Kaaba, and I get much more, one more opportunity to make some more dua, and walk along with the crowd and then exit when we come to the place of Sa'i where we can exit. How many people do that? How many of us have been victims to the fact that we have no consideration for anybody else? We just turn around and walk against the crowd and we exit when we want to exit. Now that is what causes stampedes. How many of us have been witness to this in Sa'i, in Tawaf itself? And exactly the same thing happens in Mina. Every single one of the times, that is what causes the stampede, and this is exactly what happened this time as well, from whatever reports that I have read or heard. People turned around and walked back, and they came back against the flow of traffic, against the flow of people. Now, the people coming back, don't they know that they are doing wrong? Don't they know that that is not the way for them to go? These are Muslims, these are Hujjaj, these are people who came to do Hajj. They have zero consideration for their other hajis, for the other brothers and sisters who are there. They will drive through them and they end up dying themselves and killing those people. Now, after all that happens, we have our Muslim brothers and sisters who want to blame the Saudis, who want to blame the administrators of Hajj for doing this. Now, I would like to know, how did they do that? Please explain to me, how are the Saudis responsible for the fact that you don't have the brains to walk in the direction of the crowd, right? You don't have the brains and you don't have the consideration, you don't have the compassion for your Muslim brothers and sisters, you don't have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to do something which is clearly harmful, which you also understand, and you want to blame somebody else for that. Now, how sensible is that? And then what happens, of course, is all the slander and all the backbiting about the Saudis are like this and Saudis are like that and they don't do this and don't do that, including a completely insane piece of rubbish that I heard and which at which point my patience went, so I had to speak, where a person said, you know what, and he's saying this seriously. A person said, and he said it seriously, I mean, if he meant it as a joke, maybe I would have laughed, but he says to all of us sitting there, you know what they should do, the Saudis must hand over Hajj to Disney. He meant it seriously. He said, the Saudis must hand over Hajj to Disney, and Disney can do a much better job of that. And Disney can run this Hajj much, much better. See how Disney is run, how beautifully it is run. So I said to my brother, please, excuse me, you know, let us not end this meeting right now. Did you go to Disney? He said, yes. I said, do people who go to Disney behave the way that the Hujjaj behave in Hajj? It's very easy to say, let Disney run the Hajj. Do the people in Disneyland, do they behave in the way the people behave in Hajj? People in Disneyland go and decently park their cars in allotted parking spots, and then they go and decently get onto a bus, and they don't push and shove, and they don't try to kill each other. They get into the bus, they stand in a line, and decently they get into the bus, they buy tickets, they go from exhibit to exhibit, they go from ride to ride, and they stand peacefully in lines, long hours to stand in a line to get onto whatever ride it was. They do all this without any policing because they are responsible, sensible people. Do you see that happening in the Hajj? Have you ever, ever, ever in your entire life seen anyone parking their car decently in Hajj? Have you ever seen that happening in a masjid? Have you ever seen Muslims putting their shoes in the racks in the masjid? We behave like herd animals. We behave like herd animals. And so, we have the fate of herd animals. We get stampeded, we stampede ourselves to death. My brothers and sisters, don't ruin your Hajj, don't ruin your ibadah by blaming people for it. This is the wages of our own behavior. We have stampedes because we don't do what we know we should do. Blame nobody but yourself. In the next one, I'm going to talk to you about something that happened in connection with this, which also relates to the importance of believing the best about our brothers and sisters and not insisting on blaming them for things that are not their doing and on ending up in slandering and backbiting. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.